Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
Tonight I want to share something very briefly with you, which I've titled Responding to Adversity Successfully. Responding to Adversity Successfully. Responding to adversity successfully. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask, O God, that you open our hearts to receive this word. We ask, O God, that you nurture this word in our heart. Bless our hearing, Father, as we receive your word into our spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Responding to adversity successfully. And I want every single one of us to listen to this. As Christians, I want to take our text from Genesis chapter 26. I read from verse 12 to 26. Genesis 26. I'm so grateful to God for the depth of hunger and appetite for God's word in this church. You are blessed because you have a depth of hunger for the word of God. Your appetite for the world is not the same outside. Your appetite for the world is not the same outside. So I want you to pay attention to that. Yeah? Because you are blessed. Verse 12 says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year, reaped a hundredfold. You will reap a hundredfold in Jesus' mighty name. Every single investment of time, energy, and finances in your life, God will cause you to reap a hundredfold in Jesus' mighty name. It says, because the Lord blessed him. So we see that the secret to a hundredfold is the blessings of the Lord and not labor. He got a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. And so that's why we keep hearing the word, because in the word of God carries the blessings of the Lord. You see, if you are a teacher, for example, and you come, how many teachers have we here? Teachers. We don't have teachers in this church. Only one. We have no much teacher. Okay. All right. Teachers, really? I think we need to pray. We have, but okay. We need to pray more teachers to the church. You know, we need to have many professions. So, as a teacher, right? If you come into the classroom, if you walk in and all your students are praying and they're throwing paper, you know, and then they're doing rock, paper, scissors, and then on one hand they are doing, you know, and then you come in and you shut the door and they all rush to their seat and sit down and then cross their legs, what will you do? You'll be happy, isn't it? You'll be excited. I say, oh, Miss is here, Miss is here, oh, Miss here, Miss here, Miss here, Miss here. They all run, they all sit down and they cross their legs in your dreams. But maybe in Amidala, that's how we do it. Because in Amidala, when the teacher comes in, all of us, we all do that, isn't it? We all, Miss is here, we sit here, you know? But that's because the Amidala always comes bearing the horsewhip, with the horsewhip. But in England, I don't know that happens here. I mean, do they fear you, Miss? They say, Miss? They do? Maybe you are teaching their kindergarten. All right. But you see, but when you do that, what do? You are happy. You are excited. There's something that flows from you to them. You just love that class. But if you come in and then you come in and say, Mrs. Simmons is here, and they keep playing, you just despise the children. You don't like them. So is it with the word of God. Every time what I'm saying is that the word of God carries the blessings of God. Every time the Holy Spirit comes in and you go, oh, he's here. And you sit down, you pay attention, you organize yourself. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, he blesses you. And the sign of one of the signs of his blessing is that he removes the labor from you and substitutes your labor with his power. Amen. That's how we live life. So there's nothing as powerful as hearing the word of God. Many people try and outsource this. You know, there's a place of the transfer of an anointing from someone. I don't know why I'm going this way today. That's not okay. Let me just go with my heart. There's a place of the transfer of an anointing and power from someone, right? You know, I say, well, let me pray for Shegun here. And I'll lay hands on Shegun, right? Okay. So there's a place for so I can bless him. But you see, even that doesn't just flow if Shegun doesn't do certain things. Let me teach you something. This church, hear this. Pastor, please come and sit down. Let me say this very nicely. So not that it's bad, but I'm very, very excited. You have to make sure that your spirit is recipient to prayers. Jesus could not do many miracles in his hometown. Not because he lacked power. There was just something about those people that was not recipients to the power of God. So it is your responsibility and my responsibility. So I'm Shegun's pastor. I can bless Shegun, right? But for that blessing and that power to work on Shegun, Shegun has to be a particular type of person. Are you listening? Okay, so let me take it back to Jesus Christ. One city, you are blessed and healed. Everybody, the dead, the lame, everybody got up and they walked. Next city, receive your healing. Nothing happened. Why? This is Jesus now. Is this not a Joe's son? So where did he get his power now? What? So there was just something about them, they in the way they were not receptive to the word. So always work very hard. Always work very hard so that you as a person, your life responds to prayer. You understand? That your life responds to prayer. My greatest task is to ensure that my life responds to prayers. So when my mentor blesses me, I see immediate results. Not because he's powerful, but because my life receives prayers. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's a deep secret I just showed you here. That's a deep secret I just shared with you there. So when I work very hard to ensure that everything about me, my life, right, is like a spiritual sponge. Even you as church members, if you tell me, oh, pastor, you are blessed, my spiritual organs, everything will respond to what you have said, especially if you bless me from your heart. And that's what you must work to do. Where am I going to? You understand that. So you work very hard to make sure. Now, how do you work hard? One master key to ensure that your life is like this is to walk in love. Learn to walk in love. A man who knows how to walk in love, right? God will make your life like a sponge. Every single prayer sticks to you, never drops off. And every single prayer is a self-executable program. So every single prayer, bang, it sticks on you. And then it will start working its effect on you immediately. Because those prayers carry, because they are backed by the word of God, they carry the blessings of God. You understand? So for many of us, those of us who walk in love, right, we have little post-it notes all over our bodies like this. So, and those post-it notes, they are like I call them post-it notes, but they are prayers. You know, can you imagine that you walk and you say, put one sticker here, bang, that sticker is a prayer. You know, that sticker is a prayer. And then as time goes on, as you continue to walk in love, that sticker will start mutating. It starts unfolding. And inside that prayer, inside that sticker, the prayers, is the blessings of the Lord. And it starts affecting you, it starts influencing you. Does that make sense? Work very hard to have that one. You understand? So, let's continue reading. Because the Lord blessed him. Blessing is a function. Hundredfold is a function of the blessings of the Lord. And the blessings of the Lord is in the word of God. But it doesn't matter how much they throw blessings at you. If your life is not receptive to prayers, nothing works. That's why I see some people, they go from, it's from one prayer house to the other prayer house to the other prayer house to the other prayer house. Is there something wrong with the prayer houses? But there's everything wrong with the recipient. Do you understand? My blueprint, that one is. Never allow, so you walk in love. You walk in sincerity. You live a life of sacrifice. Why? Because you want prayers to happen over your life. You want prayers to happen for you. You want to be a recipient, a manifestation of people's prayers. See, let me give you an example. I have somebody went to see my mentor. He said, who needs to buy this house? You or Jesus? I said, I don't know, sir. Let me come back. So I went away. I went to, you know, like psyching myself. Jesus needs this house. Jesus, no, I set my heart. Lord, set my heart. There's no carnal nature here. There's no agenda here. There's no agenda. There's nothing to prove. No, Lord, here am I. You know, for the sake of your work, for the sake of the people, and I was convinced in my spirit that yes, this is for the Lord and for his purpose and for his mission. So I came back. I'm ready. I said, sir, Jesus needs this property. He said, okay. He said, since you say Jesus needs it, he said, the Lord will provide for you. And the Lord will grant you favor. So I said, amen. I walked away. The gentleman who built the house happened to be the gentleman who had just completed his own church. And the guy said he doesn't want to work for any Christians anymore because it's hard enough. But he came here. You see, that favor was already working because of prayer. But you see, I can say that now and you walk away. But you see, only God sees my heart to see how much I love this man. You see? Only God sees my heart to see how much I hold dear to the words that he says. I mean my mentor. Only God sees my heart, how I serve him. Out of love, not out of obligation. Only God sees that heart. That is not in his control. That is in my control. So when he says, you'll be favored, he does it. The body is responsive to your favor. So it's not the number of amen, amen, amen you shout. It's how prepared is this vessel to receive every single prayer that comes to your life. Do you understand? That, my friend, is in your control. That is how we command the blessings of the Lord. See your church now. See your church. See your church. What other proof do you need? So, the man became rich. Well, am I surprised? And his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He became rich. Why was he rich? Huh? God blessed him. As the Lord blesses you every day in Jesus' name. And he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. Envy comes as part of the blessing. Amen. Amen. Responding to adversity successfully. Envy comes. None of us like to be envied, the envy and jealousy that cause problems. But we want the blessings. It comes together. Well, one of my pastors said, he said, the anointing attracts two things. Say, it attracts troublemakers and it attracts the blessings of God. So just be ready to receive both of them. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father, Abraham, the Philistines stopped it and filled them with sand. All of a sudden, I thought we just said God blessed him. I thought we just said God blessed him. Yeah? Responding to adversity successfully. I thought we just said God blessed this man. I thought we just said, oh, God gave him a world and everything was going on with him and he was very wealthy. Verse 16, then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us. You have become too powerful for us. That's what envy does. Envy. Where I come from in Amidala, I say it's jealousy. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well. Like it's easy to dig. His nothing is not easy to dig. We say he's blessed, but look at what is happening to him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well. And he kept digging. No one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room. We will flourish in this land. From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Verse 25, Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servant dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar, from Ahuzath, with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of forces, saying, Isaac asked him, why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away? The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' mighty name. Some of us Christians know how to handle adversity successfully. But by successfully, I mean that despite the adversity in our life, the challenges in our life, our faith is strengthened. Our walk with God progresses. And we continue to draw close to God, receiving his blessing and provision for our lives. That's what I mean by successful. As Christians, Christianity does not mean that there will not be challenges. Unfortunately, now, not every Christian, not every born-again, spirit-filled child of God knows how to respond to adversity successfully. But God wants you and I to learn and understand how to deal with adversity successfully. And so if you look at the patriarchs in the Bible, my friends, you will find that many of them went through what you would call very tough moments, very challenging moments. We just read one of Isaac's account here. So some people are getting easily defeated rather than being victorious in the face of various problems of life. You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, I was taught that challenges are very normal to live in. Challenges are very normal to live in. So you find that if you do not know how to handle challenges, hardship, adversities very well, your testimony will begin to fade. Rather than praising God and thanking God and walking in faith and perseverance, you will develop a kind of woe am I, woe is me mentality. But that is not Christianly. So I want to share some things with you tonight that will help us deal with this. Some principles. You know, I was taught when I became a pastor, my spiritual father taught me that you should learn to sit on a hot stove and keep a smiling face. He said that's how to silence the devil. You learn to sit on a hot stove and do what? In other words, you learn to endure hardship. You learn to endure tough times. Challenges are very normal to live in. I dare say, adversities are very normal to live in, as far as we live on this earth. Do not subscribe to that utopian mentality where it says, once you get born again, there will be no more trouble, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more pain. There's no more. Oh, no, no, that's not true. That's not true. And that's why in moments of challenges, you should fear not. So I want to leave you with a few principles tonight that will help you handle challenges of life, because not many Christians know how to handle challenges in life. Number one, we should not be surprised by it. You should never be surprised by it. I really believe that it's an essential key that to overcome challenges or to overcome adversity, we must realize that it is part of our Christian life. Amen? The Bible says that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That does not mean that we should desire adversity or trouble, but you should not be surprised by it. You should not. You should know that as long as you are living, a time will come that you will go through some rough passes. So you prepare. You know, they interviewed a gentleman some time ago. He made the cadet in the army, and I said, "Oh, why did you succeed?" He said, "Because I prepared myself for the challenges." And he now said something very interesting. He said over 50% of the cadets drop off after 2 weeks because they never anticipated that the drills would be that hard. So when you are signing to go into the army, what do you think you are going into? When you are checking into the barracks, what do you think you are checking into? Hotel? It's amazing how many Christians think. See, so the day you got born again and spirit-filled, God checked you into a barracks. That's why he says, fight the fight like a soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. He checked you into a barracks. So we were checked into a barracks, not a hotel. Amen. And so all our journey is preparing ourselves for the day. I mean, do you know how much billions that United Kingdom invest in defense and technology, even when there's no war? Why? Because we don't know the day a madman will come from the east. We don't know. We don't know. And so the day a madman arises from the east, you think they'll be surprised? Is it that time you now go and go to your armory and say, Is that what they do? Do you know that the average soldier right now, every day, must clean his guns? They live every day like the madman from the east is coming right now. That's how we are expected to live as Christians. Adversity should not take you by surprise. It should not take you by surprise. No. The Bible says that it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But we do wrestle. It says against principalities and powers. It says spiritual wickedness in high places. So how do you sleep and not polish your guns and not get ready? No. As a soldier, as a Christian, you should be prepared in season and out of season. Number one principle, nothing should take you by surprise. Nothing should take you by surprise. Nothing should take you by surprise. We are on planet Earth, and the devil has a field day. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see how tough Isaac's life warfare. I mean, he kept digging. His wells were tangible blessings from the Lord. And then one day they came and they took the first well. He went again and they took the second one. You see? So as Christians, we should expect things to happen. And the Bible says, if you look through the account of the Bible, you will see the Bible say, and then suddenly. That is the ministry of the devil, to appear suddenly. That's it, yes. He said he's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's there, written. He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But we do not wage war against flesh and blood, but we do wage war against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So why are you surprised? Why are you going, I don't know why I'm going through this. This is so tough. This is so tough. Why am I going through? Why are you going through what? What did you expect? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when the devil knocks on your door, I say, who is that? He say, I'm deputy Satan. I say, wait for me. Run to your room and go and bring your Bible. I say, thus saith the Lord. Open the door. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah. Did you not see how David ran towards Goliath? You grab your Bible, you grab your word, and then you run. Wait for me. Thus saith the Lord. I say, I rebuke you. It's a fighting game. Not those things you see on PlayStation. No. I'm telling you. If you are not prepared like the Boy Scouts, the enemy will mess up your life. And he will keep trying until the day God takes you home. He will keep trying to rob you of your testimony, rob you of your marriage, rob you of your career, rob you of your job, rob you of your children, rob you of your health. He will keep trying until the day God takes you home. And you are saying you are not prepared for it? No. Have you not seen some married couples? Hey, they sit down right now, they are having dinner. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. They eat, you know. Ah, you bite a piece of meat, you say, take care. He goes into the room, and they come back. For no inexplicable reason, what was a very nice, cozy evening turns into an argument and degenerates very, very rapidly. You need to see the devil at work. Our problem, right, is not that the devil is strong, Shegun. Our problem is that we are very insensitive. We have no clue. So think about it. How do you come from a nice evening meal to sleeping on two ends of the bed in one evening? That's the devil! So you have to be vigilant. Never, never be taken by surprise. As a Christian, we have basically become a target of the devil, directly or indirectly. This is war. And it is fight for finish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul said in Acts 14:22, he said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange was happening to you. I don't know. He said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. We must go through many hardships. Dear friends, do not, 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange was happening to you. And so your trial is not strange. Get used to it. This is war. Amen. So don't say, why me? You beat the living daylight out of the devil. So you stand and stand firm and keep your word going and keep your joy going and keep your love going and keep going. That's one of the things I love about our dear sister who went to be with the Lord. She went, they took her to the doctor, and the doctor wrote her off. Now, the person who went with her was reporting to us and said, I don't think she has an understanding of what they've just told her. But she had every understanding of what they just told her. But she refused to receive it. I kept going. Now, the person who saw her there was more confused than the patient. Was more confused. It was a fight of faith. So we're in a spiritual battle. And she said, I am not giving up my testimony. I don't care what anybody says. She wept only once. And I was in my presence. I said, Pastor, I really want to serve the Lord. I said, you will. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we should not be surprised by adversity. They took your well. Ah, look at my well. Oh, Lord. Oh, everything was going okay. Look at the well now. Oh, whoa. Hey, take it. The God who gave us energy to dig the first one is more than enough to give us another energy to dig the second one. And he took the second one. And he took that one as well. And they take it. Take it. That's the first principle. Number one, you should not what? Not be surprised. The second principle I want to leave with you is that you should persevere during adversity. You should persevere during tough times. When a tough time is that time when things are not going according to what you planned. Amen? What it calls for is prayers and perseverance. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug. He reopened the wells that had been dug. Amen. Abraham died and gave him the same name. Isaac's servant dug in the valley and discovered a fresh water there, verse 20. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they displayed with him. Then they dug another well. He persevered. He persevered. He said, it is mine. He said, take. And then he went again and started digging again. He persevered. So we have you on that. You do one interview. They say, you are, so say on this occasion, I'm sorry. He said, okay, thank you very much. I go for another one. I know a friend who is very, very wealthy today. He collected 300 rejection letters. So before you tell me that God is not working, where is the proof of your persistency? Where is the proof? How many times have you tried and failed at getting this thing done? How many times? Now, when we say he moved and dug another well, church, it's not like digging a hole. Because, I mean, first of all, to dig a well is tough. How many of you have been to Israel before? Okay. Only two of you. We need to pray and plan a holy trip. The ground is hard. That place, the ground is hard. It's not soft sand. That's why if they take a stone from that ground and stone you. Why do you think those boys throw stones? The ground is hard. We don't know. I'm telling you, we don't know that the ground. In the middle, I don't know what's in the ground. That place is hard. Ooh. If they stone you with a pebble from there, it was from that ground they picked up a rock that took off the head of Goliath. The boys, our cousins are over the our cousins from the other side. When in fact they throw the stones with their left hand, it's like when it's, you know, they use stones to pull back ammo tank. Have you not seen on TV? Whoa. So when he's saying, and they dug another well, that's not a small feat. That's like pulling all your investments from something and then reinvesting somewhere else. Twice. Not because God said so, but because it was persistent. This thing is fight to finish. You hold on to your promise. Fight to finish. Faced continued opposition and adversity. But every step, it takes one step forward, it takes two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. But never once he gave us an idea of how we should live our lives as Christians. From day one to the end. We have no control over the day we are born. We have no control over the day we go. But what's in between is for you and I to determine. So it was persistent. That place was dry. That place was hard. Hard rock. So he did not quit. He did not quit. Yesterday, I was saying the story about our daughter, and he said something that she has only wanted to write a book. And then she harassed the living daylight out of this gentleman until the book was published. When he wasn't answering her, she called with an unknown number. I say, hello? I say, yes, I'm here. It's me again. I wasn't sure you were going to pick up my phone. So I called an unknown number. Somebody frowns at you. You say, I'm not doing it again. I don't like the way he's looking at me. I don't like the way, I won't give it to him to do. The way he's looking at me, I don't like it. Is it the only one? Is it the only one who can go and publish book? How many books has he written? There are better authors. I called him once. I called him twice. He didn't even return my call. I'm not doing it. That is, you are weak in persistency. People who are weak in persistency never get anything done in life. Life is designed to resist you. If not, all of us will be jetting around in private planes and helicopters. Yes. Life is designed to resist your dreams, resist your vision, resist your marriage, resist your children, resist your career. Praise the Lord. So what do you do? Number one, never be surprised by adversity. Number two, you stay persistent in adversity. Life can be unfair. People and circumstances can hurt you and steal from you what is not rightfully theirs. But it doesn't matter. The God who provided and supplied, my father put it this way. He said, if you have lost anything, it is because of him you have not lost everything. So take what you have and get out of the place. I remember one story he shared with us many years ago. He said he came back, he flew to America and bought books worth $10,000. Landed in his home country, the thing mysteriously disappeared. Luggage and everything. He said he came out of the aircraft. I will never forget, I was a young boy. It was 1990. He said, we came back. I said, how was the flight? He said, praise God. He said, is this all? He said, yes, this is all. He said, go home. Everybody looked at him and he said, just keep quiet. Man that came with, what he came back with, right, was less than what he went with. Because they nicked everything at the airport. And he was telling us that, he said, as at the time he was saying that story, he said, up to that point, nobody knew what happened but him. Are you listening? So the camp of Jehovah is a fighting camp. It is horns, they say, the devil has, not wings. And that thing is to hook you. Boom! You take that. That's why as Christians, you have to be on guard all the time. Be prayerful. They say, because your adversity, the devil prowls. He will snatch your marriage away from you if you are not careful. Snatch your job from you. So be careful. Be vigilant. Every day be prayerful. Have fun, but as you're having fun, be prayerful. Watch and pray. And the day he strikes, be waiting for him. Say, thank you. You have arrived? Okay. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You are not the one who will back away. You will move towards the issue. And then you start speaking. And start addressing. And then you will maintain your ground. You'll be persistent. Is it the devil that will tell you to change course? If there's a need for you to change course, he said, can I do anything without telling my friend Abraham? So why is this an obstacle that will make you change course? Let me read this article to you. I'm not sure if you guys are Christian. Many of you know this story. He said when he was 7 years old, his family was forced out of their home on a legal technicality. Maybe you know the story. And he had to work to help to support his family at age 7. At age 9, his mother died. At 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He wanted to go to law school, but his education wasn't good enough. At 23, the following year, he went into debt to become a partner in a small store. At 26, his business partner died, leaving him a huge debt that took years to repay. At 28, after courting a girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no. At 37, on his third try, he was elected to Congress. But 2 years later, he failed to be re-elected. At 41, his four-year-old son died. At 45, he ran for Senate and lost. You know the story. At 47, he failed as a vice president presidential candidate. At 49, he ran for Senate again and lost. At 51, he was elected president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Now, I don't know whether he's a Christian. Is he? Is he? He was a believer. Aha. So, we must persevere during adversity. Number 3, we should believe God will bless us despite adversity. We are able to endure and persevere because we know that God can bless us despite the challenges of life. So no matter how many wells they took from him, the gentleman was willing to go and keep going and keep digging. It's interesting in verse 28. He said, we see clearly that the Lord is with you. That's Abimelech speaking. We see clearly that the Lord is with you in the midst of the challenge. So God can still bless you. So how does God bless us? Remember I told you earlier? I told you that blessing comes in the word. So in spite of your challenges, if you can still continue to walk in love, walk in obedience, and receive the word, it doesn't matter what you are going through, you are still blessed. You are still blessed. So, principle 3, God will bless you in spite of your challenges. Don't listen to those funny talk out there that if you are going through a challenge, it's because God is not with you. Are you kidding? Huh? I mean, if I heard if you are going through a challenge, God is not with you. He said, when you walk through fire, you plus your angel plus Jesus, you are all in the challenge together. So it is not an exception. See, so we are strong even in adversity. We are strong even in a challenge. God will bless you in spite of your challenges. You know, look at Job. Sometimes you look at when people go through tough times. Sometimes you look back and realize that wow, even while going through that tough time, you were still growing and developing. How many of you have been using that before? You found that, hang on a minute, I've actually learned more. You know, I've grown more. I've acquired more. I've done more in spite of this challenge. You know why? Because God is with you. And he was blessing you despite the challenge. Some people can be out of work for some time, right? And they'll be out of work for some time. And they will feel and say, wow, all throughout the challenge. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. I didn't lack. I don't know what happened. We were still able to feed. I don't know how we went through day by day. I don't know how God handled our emotions. You know why? Because he's still blessing you. So when the devil attacks and you are persistent, God still ensures you. He covers you. And then he preserves your testimony. At the end, when that bad wind blows away, you find out, wow, nothing has changed. Praise the Lord. So, we should never be taken by surprise. We should persevere, and we should know that God will bless us despite our adversity, despite our challenge. God will bless us. God will bless us. And if things are tough for you in any area of your life or you are walking through issues, it does not mean that God is not with you. No. No, doesn't mean that God is not with you. Don't believe that lie. God is with you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. But as long as you are on this planet Earth, things will happen. Things that do not happen in heaven. But your time has not yet come to go and be with the Lord. So you deal with it. And you deal with it by fighting. So Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. And lastly, you should also recognize that good can come from adversity. Good can come from adversity. You know, verse 23 says, from there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and I will bless you. You see, when he started, he was in Gerar. Gerar was outside the promised land. Listen very carefully. When he started, he was in Gerar. Gerar was out. That's the promised land. He was in Gerar. But every time they took the well from him, he moved towards a certain location. By the time he finished, he was actually in the promised land. You see? So this hardship is actually pushing you towards God's will for you. Are you listening? This what you call a challenge and hard adversity, right? He kept relocating, but unknown to him, or like my friend would say, unbeknownst to him, he was relocating. And that's how he relocated and relocated and relocated and found himself in the promised land. Then God now appeared to him. He never spoke to him in Gerar. All of a sudden, he's now building an altar. The altar he couldn't build in Gerar. So his heaven was not open because he wasn't properly located. So God used his enemies to relocate him. God used his enemies to relocate him. Yeah? Does that sound familiar? Remember Acts? Acts chapter 2? Everybody, your great-grandfather, we were all huddled together in one upper room. They were afraid. And then he brought persecution and drove them out of the upper room. So we now have Christianity in Amidala because of persecution. So he will use adversities to give you body movement until you wobble and wobble and wobble and wobble and find yourself in the center of his will and your heavens will open. Christ, you have done it, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, tonight. We bless your holy name.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.